Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deck. And most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is one of our favorite evenings of the week. It's the time where you, fellow conspiracy realists, join us to share your stories, your observations, your reactions. Without further ado, we're going to get into it. We promised some heist earlier in the week. We might get to those. No promises. We're gonna learn how to pronounce Schuylkill River. We're also going to talk a little bit about Bigfoot and classification codes. Before we do any of that, what do you think, gentlemen? Should we start with, should we go to desalination, or should we talk immediately about the main thing people have contacted us about over the past week and a half?
Jeez, what is that? The heist?
That is an update from our contacts in Australia, as well as other points north. I mean, no offense, Australia, but most other points are points north. Matt, maybe we throw to you. Brought us a story a while back on a strange news segment about an Australian resident named Aaron Patterson, who was involved in a very suspicious and fatal dinner.
Yes. As of this past Thursday, well, I guess just it's Thursday, November 2nd, she has been arrested and been charged for murder, homicide.
So this is the third update. We had the original, then there was an update where there was a whole thing about, like, what was it? Some product that, like, was found in a dump or something like that, and then like motives started to kind of circulate. This is like, wow, this is a real update. Holy cow. I don't know about this.
She was charged with murder, and she is denying all wrongdoing, at least at the time The Guardian and other outlets were writing about this last week as we record. It's five counts of attempted murder and three murder charges.
Has not been convicted. Thank you to the multiple people who reached out to us in various platforms, including our email, conspiracy@iheartradio.com, as well as Instagram messages, a couple bits on X, FKA Twitter. We're keeping an eye on this thing. And, you know, I thought we were very even-handed
when we said, look, we are not expert mycologists. We are not, we're certainly not experts in homicide. But I think all three of us, Matt, when you first brought this to us, I think all three of us agreed it didn't look 5x5.
And no, it didn't. And these charges that, you know, are against her right now, they're not just for this one incident where, you know, family members came and died at her home after she made them a meal. There are three attempted murder charges that relate to three other separate incidents between 2021 and 2022.
We talked about the possible MO, too, if I recall correctly.
Of just dehydrating.
That's really it. That was the product that was found. Yeah. A food dehydrator was found. That's when we got, you know, had to get schooled on what a tip is.
That's like the word. That's the nomenclature.
A garbage dump, you know, because you tip it in or whatever, like from the larger trucks, they tip the back into the tip. Mm-hmm. But yeah, dehydrating these particular mushrooms that were claimed to have come from some sort of Asian market, which didn't make any sense on any scale.
And felt a little xenophobic, to be honest.
I didn't even think about that at the time, but that did just occur to me. That's true.
Yeah. Beware the Patterson Wellington boys.
Yes. Beware. Also, Matt, I like how that sounds like the beginning of a sea shanty. Do you guys remember when we were out in Los Angeles a little while back and we started doing street shanties? I can't remember. We were outside some steak restaurant or something.
Correct.
Yeah.
And inebriated.
Well, just a bit. Well, how else are you going to do a street shanty?
Yeah.
The Wellington is like, we're talking about like a meat wrapped in pastry that's the rolled in mushrooms with what do they call that? There's a name for the mushroom bit. I made one of these for Christmas once and they're delightful, but what a great way to sneak in a deadly ingredient that you would not immediately clock as having a particular flavor, because there's so many other flavors in a dish like this. Mustard, you know, lots of things to disguise any ill, you know, any ill tastes.
And it's tricky to cook. Also, you know, the idea of poisoning people, it's, I think a lot of times people underestimate how efficient authorities can be about tracing some kind of poison. You know, the days of the old noir detective tales, stabbing someone with an ice pick or something, because, you know, the ice pick melts. Those days are long gone.
Well, but I mean, even like we talked about recently, Ben, I think you wrote us a story about a serial killer in Asia who had been poisoning people serially, and we had all these questions about how it wasn't discovered sooner, despite there being, you know, obviously the best detectives on the case. And we answered those questions in terms of, it is not immediately clear that this is the cause of death, but then there are signs if you know what you're looking for.
I just posted in the chat, we don't have to go over this story, but there was another recent story on one of our favorite sources, Reddit/r/offbeat, about a mother and daughter that planned to kill the dad, this guy named Harold Peanut L. Allen Jr.
Oh, right.
They like were texting with
Harold
each other.
Peanut L. Yeah.
But they were texting with each other about how to murder this guy with different poisons. And
his root beer float, no doubt.
They did it. They killed him. And when the Jackson County Sheriff's Department showed up to question the mother, Marsha Allen, I guess she took her own life soon after that because she knew what would happen. But she gave her cell phone up, so they looked through all the text messages, and it's this crazy tangled web of a story about how the daughter then thought she was owed money, didn't get that money, so she hired two guys that she knew to go, I guess, ransack the mom's house to try and get money.
I can't wait for the movie, dude. I mean, Jesus, this is wild. This is like a Fargo season.
The
right
Dateline,
here.
Yeah. The Dateline will come out first if my girlfriend is correct. So the thing here is that, Matt, I'm glad you brought this up because I haven't tracked that past the headline. One, antifreeze. No, you'll get caught. Two, semi-related, tangentially related, our old pal Beekeeper put together some you know, we've been talking about whether or not we're going to go to DEF CON at some point. And our old pal Beekeeper sent me a pretty tasty look, curated list of some DEF CON talks for us. We'll send off air. But I still think people just don't understand that your text messages, no matter how secure you feel they are easily the first thing law enforcement is going to go for.
You know? Your WhatsApp.
Oh, yes. And your WhatsApp. And shout out to your TikTok.
Now, but they are encrypted, though, to a degree. And sure, we have had situations where, like, Apple wouldn't give up, you know, the encryption key to a locked phone. So it does require them to have access to your device. I mean, like, there is end-to-end encryption on WhatsApp and on Apple, you know, messages.
I guess the point is, if there's a homicide or a serious crime involved, it doesn't matter.
Also, FISA court famously discriminated, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be petulant here, but there was a whole thing where there was a serious murder and Apple refused to grant a backdoor entry to someone's phone that would have helped solve the case because it would have set some kind of precedent. So I am just interested in, like, how these texts surface, because you literally can't get into my phone if you don't have my number. And can they subpoena the records? But if they're end-to-end encrypted, how do they do that? Doesn't matter. Conversation for another day, perhaps.
Conversation for an episode, I would posit, because the shoegaze boys are pretty up on their stuff. And they're also the source of a lot of those zero-day exploits or day one exploits that get hidden from private industry. So you'd be surprised. You know what I mean? Maybe you're right. We should do an episode on that. Before we do that, let's hang out with our fellow listeners. After that update, thank you to so many people, too many to name, who wrote to us immediately with the update on the Patterson case in Australia. We have been sharing a fascination with the role of water in the world for many years now. Matt, most recently, you were discussing the escalating situation there on the Gulf Coast in Louisiana, specifically with salt water versus fresh water and all the implications.
Which is okay
there.
Now. Which is New Orleans is good to go. They're
G to G.
Yeah, and they've been good to go since mid October. A little, like, I think the 18th of October they gave the all clear. Like, hey, we mitigated the situation and we've had sufficient rainfall and all that stuff. So
it's just for next year now.
Well, yeah, and it's just for the people who live closer to the Gulf, right? Further, I guess, south than New Orleans.
And this spurred a lot of conversation with our fellow listeners, our fellow conspiracy realists. Noel, there's one that stood out to you, correct?
Yeah, it's from my favorite nickname, I think, in all of Stuff They Don't Want You to Know in Dumb. Hobo Bobo. Honking on Bobo. You guys know what that is? Honking on Bobo?
I do not.
I think it's an Aerosmith, like greatest hits, perhaps. But I think it just means playing the harmonica.
Oh.
Honking on Bobo. But I could be wrong.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You honking. You know. Yeah,
I get that part.
Yeah, okay. I'm not. Bobo might be a reference to a particular bluesman, you know, of note. I'm not 100%.
Oh, it's the name
sure.
of their 14th album?
Yeah, it was an album. And I think they went real bluesy, woozy on that one. But Hobo Bobo was worried about you, Matt. He was concerned. Whoa. He wanted to. I'm joking. He wasn't really worried about you. He just wanted to give you a little grain of hope. And I think he did that. And thank goodness that the situation that led to your rabbit hole around the rising saltwater levels in places where that shouldn't be happening. Glad that situation was more or less mitigated. But what came up a lot in having conversations around these topics was, like, what's up with desalination? You know, how do we scale that? And we talked about how it's ultimately a very expensive proposition. It requires a lot of infrastructure. You know, I think one of the things, weren't they, Matt, in that New Orleans situation, like literally dumping fresh water into the water with, like, big barges and stuff?
I can't remember if they were bringing that fresh water in for the populations that needed fresh water or if they were actually using it to try and mitigate.
Okay. It would maybe make more sense that they would give it directly to the people, but I'm interested to know. I would love an update on that one, Matt, and how they mitigated it, because the last update we had, it was still sounding pretty dire. But honking on Bobo, a.k.a. Hobo Bobo. I'm sorry, Hobo. Had this to say. Here, Hobo Bobo here to feed into Matt's recent apparent fascination with water. And he sends us a link to an article from a publication called, what is it? Interestingengineering.com. The headline is wave-powered desalination machine filters 49,000 liters of water daily.
Wow.
And this is like a pretty reasonably sized craft. It's not ain't no barge. This is like more like a skiff, you know, or a catamaran. You know, what's another fun name for a vessel?
Schooner.
A schooner. Brigantine. There you go. I mean, admittedly, I can't quite tell the scale from the image because it's literally just surrounded by water. But from the size of the waves and just the way it's framed, maybe we'll get into some specifics. But this is another one of these things that does read like a press release, because it is. It is a press release, essentially, that has been turned into an article. No shade on the writer, Ameya Pelea. It's a great name, by the way, Ameya Pelea, if I'm pronouncing that right. This is what happens. You know, we did one recently, Matt, that you brought about some kind of cleanup thing, or it was the zoo, the thing, the company that was like named after a particular type of zebra.
Oh yeah, where they're obliterating PFAS.
That's
right?
The one. Yeah, exactly. So this is, you know, similar deal to that. It's a exciting new technology coming out that this this website is reporting on. Onika Technologies, a Canada-based startup, has unveiled its environment-friendly desalination technology that works by using power from the waves at sea. This environmentally friendly approach could help countries tend to the water needs of their population without worrying about its climate impact. Out of the total water available on the planet, just about 3% is fresh water that can be used. The rest is salty seawater, unusable for drinking or industrial usage. And desalination plants have helped put this water to some use. But like we said, they go on to say it's an energy-intensive process, and none of it comes from renewable resources. So that's another problem. It's like you're sort of like robbing Peter to pay Paul, kind of, I guess, where it's like sort of a zero-sum game in terms of like the balance of bad things, you know, that mm-hmm. you're putting into the world or taking from the world. And that goes on, according to the International Desalination Association, that's a mouthful, desalination plants have doubled in the past decade, and the sector is expected to grow at 9%. In such a scenario, an environment-friendly solution would be helpful in a world looking to move away from fossil fuels. And again, this thing, this craft is powered by waves. The apparently conventional desalination plants use thermal or membrane type of technology or type of processing. Thermal, in that situation, it requires heat, intense heat that heats the seawater and causes it to evaporate, leaving the salt content behind. And then the evaporated water is cooled and made available for use. Then there's the membrane approach, where it's passed through what's called a semi-permeable membrane that then takes in the salt. And that is also very energy intensive, but much better, but I think overall much more expensive. In the Onika kind of craft wave runner approach, it basically uses this floating craft that's anchored to the seabed and uses a membrane system that is actually powered by the waves. And the machine then also absorbs energy from the waves and converts it into mechanical energy, which is used to draw in the seawater. So it's like a kind of like a filtration closed system, right? So a quarter of the water is circulated inside the desalination system, and purified water is pumped using mechanical power to the shore. I think that's enough to get us the idea here.
Well, it's incredible because this whole system works without electricity.
Yeah, it's wireless, man. It's tethered only to the floor for, you know, to do what it's doing, but it's not being fed any power by anything.
Oh, man, wave technology like this is so cool to me. Just the back and forth movement of waves that are going to be occurring and then harnessing that to do something like push salt water through a filtration system and then use that same force to pump it to a usable outlet, right, where human beings can then make use of it. That's freaking amazing to me.
Super cool. And Hobo Bobo had this to say: fantastic news if scalable and actually used. To be clear, I didn't read any other articles about this because, like we said, this is definitely one of these examples of like a press release that's converted into a little short blurb. But hopefully, given the climate, the climate change, we're going to start hearing more about it. He says, from this one, it does seem promising. Hopefully you've already seen this. I hadn't. I don't think we had. He says, but I'm listening to old episodes of Stuff to Blow Your Mind, Red Handed, and Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe, so I'm not current on stuff that I want you to at the moment. You bastard!
Those are great choices.
They though. Are great shows, and it sounds like he's going to catch up eventually, so he can hear me call him a mean name. Out of love, Hobo. Out of love.
This is incredible, actually. It should be known that in order for this thing to function, you've got to have 3-foot waves. So, guys, imagine a 3-foot wave, right? Not huge, but the kind that you could probably body surf on pretty mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. I would just say those are, in my experience,
they're not everywhere. They're not constant, right? Yeah. What was the number, Ben? Could you help us with some cocktail math on this one? Like, it said it could do, and based on the headline, it said it could do 49,000 liters a day. So, like, what does that translate to, like, in terms of, like, the population, you know, like, in functional terms?
Well, 13,000 gallons, right? So then imagine a gallon of water, a single gallon of water, and then multiply it by 13,000. That's what you'd get.
Well, Ben, does this seem, like scalable to you? Is that enough to make a dent, or are we just kind of pissing in the wind here?
The argument would be that at this point, pissing in the wind is better than not pissing at all, regardless of...
Or pissing in your pants.
Or you pissing know? In your pants. The average human being needs about a little more than 3 liters of water per day to survive. I think it's 3.7 liters for guys or male identifying dudes, 2.7 or so for female identifying people. And this follows up with an episode we did years ago. I had this long-standing obsession for a while. You guys will recall I was convinced that the next world war resource would be potable water. Desalination technology is amazing. And sure, Hobo Bobo, to the point it may be tempting to dismiss this kind of stuff as a press release, but we have to understand that as research continues here, this is going to be one of the mission critical pieces of innovation for the human species to continue. So in terms of how this will scale, probably the best analog, and I'm not a hydrologist, probably the best analog to look at here would be the tremendous breakthroughs that have been made in wave power, to your point, Matt, wave-powered energy initiatives, especially in the Northern European theater. There's a lot of great mobile hydroelectric stuff happening. Also, shout out to something we may never get to. The nation of Turkey has mobile power plants that they are using as extortionate diplomacy. Unrelated, story for another day. Desalination, awesome. I hope more research continues in this field.
Mm-hmm. And remember... Hey. It's modular, Noel, so they're...
I was going to mention, yeah, you could combine these, but I guess if you spread these out, you know, in large bodies of water and have them going constantly, at the very least, you could stockpile this stuff and save it up for, like, you know, when the shit really hits the fan.
There you go.
It's nothing but good if it works as advertised, I would say. So, in the modular aspect, well, I don't fully understand what that means. I think I kind of do. I mean, they're modular in that they're discrete units. Each one of them is independent.
But it looks like they're designed to have multiple set up in an array, and then you can connect the systems together into one, like, output.
Super output. That makes sense. I see what you're saying. Yeah, because there's a couple images on the article where they look quite different from one another. Like, there's one that looks... You can definitely see the scale because you can see a much smaller boat's next to it, and it's even smaller than those. It looks like more the size of a buoy. And then you've got this image at the top that looks like a much larger version. So maybe there's like little kind of feeder units that all kind of go. It's really cool. Thank you, Hobo, Bobo. We're going to take a quick break and come back with some more messages from you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we've returned. Guys, we are jumping to the phone lines to hear a couple messages regarding ye old Bigfoot sighting on the railway we mentioned a couple weeks back.
That wiggly fella.
Mm-hmm. So our first message comes from old friend of ours, A-Frame.
Hey guys, it's A-Frame again, and I was listening to you guys talking about the Bigfoot that was recorded on the Durango to Silverton narrow gauge railway a couple weeks ago. I saw that and I thought of you guys, but also when I saw it, I thought about how we are in the mountains up here, and we love the concept of Bigfoot. It's a constantly running thing up here, and if you drive up the Pikes Peak Highway, you'll see wooden frames of them in the trees. So if you drive at dusk, you kind of see him going around a corner. Won't even really, like, quite process whether or not it was real. And people like to put those in their yards. It's a pretty common thing to do. So the thought of a guy in a ghillie suit walking around the train because it's funny is very likely to me. And I do think it's pretty funny, especially with how serious it was taken. You can see the way he just saunters, sees the recording, sits down, makes sure he's being watched. It's perfect. Nicely done. Beautiful prank. It's what you do. It's fun. I don't know how many people actually do believe, but the joke in wanting to is very, very popular, and especially putting the cutouts in roads where they can be seen for a flash second. That's like a really popular thing. But other than that, thanks for the show. Hope you guys have a great week.
So, guys, there we go.
We mentioned some of those bits. I think we were sort of banding around like some of the possible scenarios, but there is a performative quality to the movements of this character.
Well, yeah, and I guess I was unaware of how, again, at least according to A-Frame, how popular a joke it is that Bigfoot is just there, or not even a joke, like a just a piece of lore, like to the point where you would buy or create a cutout of Bigfoot and put it in various places on your lawn somewhere or in the trees on your property just to be like, yep, there's Bigfoot.
Like the, what is it? Like the Frogman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like that. Exactly. And right after listening to that message from A-Frame, we got another message from someone I'm going to call Anonymous Asp. And you know why I'm calling you that, Asp. But it was a similar message, so I'm going to play that too, and then we can just chat quickly about this stuff.
Hey guys, what's up? I'm not even going to say my name because I use this prank a lot. Just listening to your strange news about the Bigfoot in Colorado. I'm from Colorado, and I've taken that train many times. There are places to drop people off along that route, and it'll pick them up the next day or days or weeks later so they can go camping. And it is a thing in Colorado to dress as a Bigfoot or a bear to scare the shit out of tourists. It's a thing. So I don't doubt that that was somebody just trying to play a prank, because that shit happens all the time in central and rural Colorado. Just saying. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Dude, that's why the local perspective is so helpful, like, across the board. You know, and I mean, they even, wasn't it New York Times that reported on this, that with a bit of a wink and a nod in all of the writing? It was just almost like an opportunity to write about some Bigfoot stuff. I don't think anyone was really truly conjecturing that this thing was real. But when you hear it from who just called, that's super cool.
I think it was just nice to hear from people who live right there, right?
And exactly.
I had a family member who used to live out that way in Durango and would take that line. And actually, I have never actually been on it, but I have some personal experience, like, right, secondhand personal experience, I guess, of stories on that particular line and just how remote it is, but also how people do just get off and get out in the cold and just go for a while on foot, basically, I guess, the way Anonymous Asp is discussing there. All right, well, that's it. That's the Bigfoot stuff for today. We got one more quick thing, guys. This is an email we received, keeping it on the Asp tip, from someone calling themselves Isotope Viper. So here we go. Oh, and this message is a callback to an episode from almost exactly a year ago titled How Federal Classification Works and Why It's a Problem. Here is Isotope Viper's message. Gents, it's a great opening line here, guys. I work for the DOD. Uh-oh. Do we need to burn our computers?
Not going to do it.
Okay. No, here we go. I work for the DOD. We've received a computer update today, giving us a new system of email classification. Here are some of our new, quote, related to categories. So before we continue on, let's jump down to this screenshot / picture that was taken and sent to us of the related to categories that are brand new. I just wanted to point some of these out for everyone. So this is a list of what looks like selectable related to categories for classifying email communications. And in here, I'll read the top one because it's the name that was chosen by this person contacting us. Isotope Viper. Do you guys have any, like, what do you think Isotope Viper could be?
I honestly do not know.
I want to say some sort of radioactive snake.
Ah, maybe. Okay. Some kind of strike with a dirty weapon, maybe.
Right, there you go. There you go.
What's the next one?
Out of the full list, I would say there are, counting Isotope Viper, there are six in total that that have a bit of a umami to them. The next one going down, as you asked, Matt, is Ivy Ghost.
Ivy Ghost. See, like, I want to believe there's symbolism or something, but it may be that they're just pulling names out because this isn't like the NATO alphabet, right? Or the alphabet that you would use with Alpha Bravo and all that stuff. These are fun code names, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Ivy Ghost, something that wraps around. And
the issue is that there's no use in classifying a program if the name of the program clearly indicates the nature of the program.
Exactly.
So that's why it's MK Ultra instead of tripping civvies or something, you know?
Yeah, it's true. But weirdly enough, there's like, on this list, you also have things like NATO, N-A-T-O. Do you think that has something to do with NATO? Probably.
Maybe it's natto, the Japanese fermented beans, which are soybeans, which are terrible. They taste like diapers.
Yeah.
And I say that as a person who has not eaten a diaper, to my knowledge. So the closest I got was eating the fermented soybean natto. I'm taking aim at it. If you listen to Daily Zeitgeist, write to Miles Gray and let him know I said so.
Yeah, take that. But also, just to that point, Ben, JPN is on this list. Like, is that Japan? No, maybe it's just JPN. Because KOR is on here too, which I hear that. And I hear Knights of Old Republic. I don't know about anybody else. That's what I hear.
What is, how do we pronounce, is it Nibble Wolf, like Bible, or is it Nibble Wolf?
I think, well, there's not two B's. Yeah. So it's got to be Nibble Wolf, but Nibble Wolf sounds
what
fun.
What about Nebo Wolf?
I mean, maybe they're pronouncing it a different way. Maybe there are silent letters in there.
Nible?
Yeah, maybe it's Wolf. And then, of course, Nichrome or Nichrome Spike.
And Lunar Arrow.
Yeah, that goes back to the point about the notion of classifying a program in general, right? If it is about shooting the moon, maybe don't call it Lunar Arrow. It's like, here's our secret operation. What's it called? Operation Secret Operation.
Yeah. Operation Knights of the Old Republic. All right. So here we go. Let's go back to the email really quickly, guys. That's that list. Isotope Viper says, I recognize several, but there's some pretty interesting stuff in there. Also, Operational Research Consultancy, or ORCON, O-R-C-O-N, is something I heard about today, which you may find interesting. Care to shed any light on any of this? I suppose you can call me Isotope Viper after my favorite item on the list. Stay frosty, Isotope Viper.
Ooh, stay frosty. All right. Challenge accepted, my friend. ORCON. Learned about it by watching you, Dad. If Isotope Viper is not our parents. But ORCON, Matt, from what I can tell is, it's an interesting pickle. There's some onions to it. And I was not,
I don't understand it. Can I just say, I researched this for today's episode, and I don't understand what it is outside of operate or originator controlled classification.
Yes.
Which means I still don't understand it. In my head, it means where this information is originating, coming from, starting from, and then being able to follow it down the chain to wherever it leads, like whoever else gets this information, but I don't understand.
Right. That's my take too. It is controlled by the people who created it, right? Which doesn't always happen. And, you know, folks, a lot of times in any large government, you would be surprised by how much energy is spent on what we would recognize as turf wars. Who controls this, right? Is it MCOM? Is it DOD? Who gets to make the calls on budget? That's always a funny conversation. And Isotope Viper, there are a lot of things here that I think none of us recognize. It is fun, to your point, Matt, it is fun to guess at them. In my favorite of worlds, the ones that are two words put together, Lunar Arrow, Night Mesa, Ivy Ghost, etc., in my favorite of worlds, those are all painfully awkward acronyms. You know what I mean? like Ivy Ghost, if we freestyled on that one, that would be like Internal Verification Yonder. What's a good word that starts with Y?
Yacht.
Unclear.
Oh, internal vestige yacht, Garamond, whatever. You know what I mean? We'll have to work on these and maybe we can include them in a future show.
I think we should. This is really cool. It's weird to actually look at it like this. Thank you, Isotope Viper. Thank you, A-Frame and Anonymous Asp, for writing into us this week. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsor, then we'll be right back with more messages from you.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. on demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned. Let's go to a person that I would like to call Right Said Fred, because Fred, you said we could call you Fred. You didn't give us a cool, obscure nickname. So we're going to call you Right Said Fred or Drop Dead Fred. Matt Noll, do you guys have a preference?
Ooh, it's hard to choose. I did get taken to task by a listener on Instagram. I forget. Please forgive me. I've forgotten their name. Who scolded me saying Right Said Drop Dead Fred did not, in fact, ruin the life of the character that was his. Well, that he was her imaginary best friend. He empowered her to take charge of her life. I obviously was misremembering the movie. So I would opt for Right Said because I know what his deal is. He's just too sexy for all the things.
Just call him Savage.
Very well. So Drop Dead Right Said Fred, a.k.a. street name Savage, says, hey guys, love the show. Fairly new listener of 1 year, but it has become a daily joy of mine listening to whatever things you have posted and the classics. Thank you. Strange News is my favorite part of the show. Since discovering your show, I'm always looking for something to write to you about. Well, perhaps I did stumble into something that I have found very interesting in the classic conspiracy Freemason rhetoric. On Reddit, about 2 years ago, I noticed someone posted a weird coded note they had found inside of their sealed box of Pocky. Weird note, says our pal Fred. They bought this at a local grocery store in Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania. I read it, thought it was a curious mystery. Someone translated it, and well, that was that. But it wasn't. Thank you for the sound cue there, Paul. More and more people over the next couple of years kept getting these notes, but who was doing it? who might be behind it. It is happening often enough that recently, 2 months ago, someone started a sub on the notes. More and more people are getting them. Sub here, editorial note, refers to subreddit. So you can go to Schuylkill Notes, the subreddit, and Fred says, I am not a moderator of the sub. I have not received one of the notes, but it scratches at that part of my brain that wants to blow this into a Dan Brown novel. The only news source I have found that has given it any notice is the local county paper, Coal Region Canary. And Fred, you shared this with us. Residents keep finding bizarre printed messages in grocery items. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. I hope you guys find this interesting. And if not, at least I finally had a reason to write in. Love the show. Appreciate all the hard work you guys do. As you can see by the email, this is my name. You can call me Fred. Thanks. And thank you, Fred, because this is interesting. It seems to ride the line between Discordianism, if we remember that one, and, you know, a little bit of hacking, but also some potentially dangerous propaganda. If you guys are okay with it, I would like to quickly read one of the messages that was found here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So this is from the Coal Region Canary, published by Canary Commenter, which I suspect is not their real name. So, but, you know, apologies if that is your real name and your parents are weird. So one story, one note was found in a bit of over-the-counter medication. This note is folded up and it reads the following. There are a lot of abbreviations here. We're going to give you the full audio pronunciation, but just know this is riddled with strange cultish nomenclature and apostrophes.
Ben, just to be clear, this is found in a sealed box of something.
This one is found folded into a bottle, a package of infant Tylenol.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah,
so this is not the sealed Pocky message.
This is like those memes that are like, careful, they're finding some esoteric thing in your kid's Halloween candy, but it's like a picture of like a scene from The Matrix or something like that. You know,
that's gotcha. Wild. I'm just trying to imagine if it's even possible that it was inserted by somebody or if it had to like originate inside the factory. The package,
or
right?
If so, it was like resealed right after entry. Yeah, that's the big question. So here we go. And there are a lot of misspellings as well. Lies. Secret societies, SS, ties to terrorism, shutters, and other crises not reported. But JFK warned of SS, Europe's Aryan elite, all caps, and their SS fronts, parentheses, Vatican Jesuits, Mason, lesser royalty, leading SS masquerading as other rels are the Illuminati, secret rights, signed cis unit, SS, Oprah, Obama, Putin, Austin, Gates, Dalai Lama, trope, ellipses, sign, one. It goes on for a while, and it's kind of like the Toynbee tiles or the messages from that soap company. It doesn't seem to have a clear narrative other than if you read this, which you can at coalregioncanary.com, what it seems to be is, in general, an argument that a cabal of very powerful people in communities are attempting some kind of false flag crisis to make people more open or amenable to world government. That seems to be the spoiler. There's a lot of strange stuff kind of word saladed in these messages, similar to, what was the guy who thought Time Cube guy?
Yeah. It reminds me of that. But it also seems like there's a ton of purposeful removing of letters to try and fit everything into this, whatever this cardstock is, whatever this piece of paper size is. Mm-hmm. Like the word confiscation is in there, but it's written CONFIS'N.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but you can kind of tell, like, if you just glance at it, you can read gun confiscation, but that my head says confiscation.
And I'm with you there, because I was looking at this to see whether there was a potential for a code message of some sort. This would be.
I was about to say, is this Zodiac speaking here? What are we like? There, this is
well,
weird.
There yeah. is a bit of internal consistency as far as parts of words that are removed. So anything that ends with an ing, the in tends to be removed. There is more of a tendency for vowels to be removed rather than consonants. However, what we see is this is disturbing people in the area, and they are not encountering real world activity connected to this, by which we mean no one in the county is saying, I ran into someone who told me about these messages or was taking action based on these messages. Now, according to the author, if the author is in good faith here, the people who are taking action are, of course, the let me go back to that hit list again. Oprah, Obama, Putin, Austin, Gates, Dalai Lama, Trump, also the United Nations and China. And then, of course, you know, your side helping of anti-Semitic stuff.
Dude,
yeah,
this is such a great like Reddit rabbit hole.
Yes.
I'm looking at some of the stuff you found, and there's one message just on somebody's granite table here. They took a picture of it. This one says that it all goes back. It's all tied to Saturn / Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. And at the very end, it says, watch They Live and Dark City.
Two Dark City is on Criterion right now in a collection of like 90s kind of neo-noir movies. And I've never seen They Live, and I've been meaning to really
best fight
see it.
Scene. Best fight scene. Sorry, John Woo. You tried. You did it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, God. It's amazing.
It's got an incredible fight scene.
It's got Rod Piper. No, 15 minutes of utter nonsense. And, you know, if you thought the characters in season 3 of Lost were bad at communication, watch that fight scene and They Live. That
if only there was cell phones.
That was the epitome of not being able to communicate face to face. And this idea, like as you noted, Fred, and as you noted, Matt, the subreddit here is amazing. This is probably one of the best uses of the platform of Reddit, because it is people with eyes and ears on the ground sharing theories, sharing texts. My question is similar to the question we had about Cicada, was it 3301?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the question is this like a culture hack? Is this a thing for the lulls? Is this someone who works in the area who is dealing with some inner demons of one sort or another? And Fred, I hate to tell you at this point, you said you wanted to hear our thoughts on this. We're going to need some time. We're going to have to dig in. We might have to take a little bit of a road trip, because you're absolutely right. There's not a ton of news out here. The best sources are the ones you named, the subreddit in particular.
Dude, this is cool. Have you guys read much into the Saturn theories? Like the theories about Satan and Saturn having a connection in this literal Lord of the Rings, like Saturn worship. Yeah.
Satan and Saturn are an anagram of each other.
Well, I mean,
no, because it's not true.
No, but there's some,
you say it with enough confidence, it feels right.
Yeah, like it's evil to live backwards. Shout out, yeah, Loaded Lux.
I would just say there's some deep rabbit holes to go down in the Saturn, the concept that a lot of people believe that some form of controllers on this planet, this realm, worship Saturn as a thing. I don't know. It might be worth our time to at least delve into it.
Isn't Saturnalia a thing? Did I make that up?
You Saturnalia, did not. Saturnalia.
It's a festival.
A
it's a like a debauched kind of, yeah, like it's a lot of, yeah, it does have some bacchanalian qualities to it that you might associate with like a witch's Sabbath or, you know, that kind of. Yeah, again, a lot of these are cliche sort of like dated references or dated images. But I think it also is connected, or it's the Roman version of what ultimately became reappropriated as Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that part of the calendar is a big time for parties, yeah, historically. Yeah, really. And Matt, I think, are you talking about what is broadly called the Atlantean conspiracy? Something like that?
I think that works into it. Yeah. Again, it's branching in deep.
Oh, yeah. Because if there's no real primary source, then you're in the realm of folklore. That might sound like a cheap shot, but we guarantee you that's above the belt. Look into it and let us know your thoughts. Fred, dogs with a ball on this one, or, you know, Prometheus with fire on this one. We are going to dig in further. This will be a fun one. We want to do more paranormal stuff. So this may come up in a future evening. In the meantime, I'll cut my part short here. I think we promised our fellow conspiracy realist some heist. Maybe we end with some fun heists. Just a real quick laundry list of three that popped up recently. What do you guys think? Yay or nay?
Totally. I mean, over the past couple of years, we've had like spam heists. We've had
maple syrup,
dimes. You know, what do we got, Ben? How can we top those? Is it even possible?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. Recently, just in the past couple of weeks, four men were accused of stealing a gold toilet. It's worth $6 million. They did get caught. No word on whether or not they had time to poop in it. it was stolen.
That was the first thing I was going
to
ask.
Right. It's probably, you know, who knows how they got to it. It was an 18-karat gold toilet from a place called Blenheim Palace. They stole it in 2019, in September, and they finally got arrested. They're all from London, and they were accused of conspiracy to transfer criminal property.
Somebody just had it in their flat.
Someone was just flexing. Yeah. You know, people would come over to their apartment. They'd be hanging out playing Uno or what have you. And the guy who was hosting kept saying, anybody need to poop? Guys, anybody got to use the loo? Seriously, come in.
The WC?
Yeah. To the point where it became awkward for their guest. And they were like, hey, man, you're kind of weird. Like, no one wants to go in your water closet because you've made it such a thing. And he's like, are you sure?
It's really awesome.
I can't tell you why.
Cool.
But you should have pooped here. You know what? As a matter of fact, we don't have to hang out. Just you guys call me next time you need to poop. I got some stuff that'll blow your mind.
I'm not nearly as impressed as that as I would be with one of those fancy Japanese toilets that like do things to the butt. Mm-hmm. You know, a gold toilet. I'm sorry the way I said that.
The Toto, yeah, the future, you know, the toilets.
Yes. But the way I said, I sounded like Hannibal Lecter describing Buffalo Bill. He does things to the skin.
It's true, though. Japan is shitting in the future. Thanks for the beep there, man. Paul. Yeah, a toilet that'll sing to you. Some will say reassuring phrases. They'll wash your butt. They'll dry your butt. They'll heat the seat. Yeah, of course, an 18-karat gold toilet.
Not impressed. Couldn't care less.
I love that rhymed. I'm also terrified of touching metal with my hands. Much less.
And this one doesn't even do butt stuff. So
it does one butt thing, you know.
And it does the same as my freaking porcelain toilet does. Dude, not impressed.
It does the same as a field. Yeah. You know what I mean? As a field of grass. Anyway, so let's fast forward. There is a ongoing heist in Ohio. Police have asked for help trying to figure out who on earth stole an entire bridge. They took the whole thing in two separate heists. Yeah, in Akron,
obviously,
Ohio.
Obviously the troll. He was just relocating.
Yeah, maybe it's like a statement, a troll community statement about gentrification. This is on the Little Cuyahoga River in Middlebury Run Park. It's a pedestrian bridge, or it was. It's 58 feet long.
Made of planks, traditional bridge material we're talking, stone?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
So the theft of the bridge began in phases. This is like a street level Ocean's 11. Starting on November 3rd, you called it, Noel, the thieves cleared the brush around the bridge, and then they took the deck boards, and then they came back and took the rest of the bridge.
Remember that whole deal about London Bridge where it was like a big thing where they sold it and they moved it overseas, like brick by brick or stone by stone? That was sanctioned, you know, by the government and took a long time. I have to say, this is very impressive. And certainly it wasn't the size of London Bridge, but a bridge of any size is no No, nothing to sneeze at in terms of like moving it. And what are you going to do with it? Put it somewhere else? It's sort of custom made for where it already was.
We got to learn more about the underground aftermarket bridge community.
Yeah. How do you fence a bridge?
Hey, point.
Okay.
But this is why I always say, guys, we need more surveillance cameras in public parks that have facial recognition really technology that can identify everybody that might steal a bridge.
Here's the troll. You know the troll was mad all along.
You know what? I don't want to gatekeep bridges here, but maybe if we want to
gate bridge,
if we want to focus on keeping people safe in these great national parks of this great nation, then why don't we have the federal government finally start fucking keeping track of the people who disappear?
Yeah.
Anyway,
you yield your time.
Anyway, well, I will yield time here. I know I squeezed a lot into this last part of our listener mail segment. We got to get going. Big shout out to Fred, Hobo Bobo, A-Frame, Anonymous Asp, Isotope Viper, everybody who wrote in to let
us. Isotope Viper's badass. That's a badass nickname.
Agreed. Everybody wrote in to let us know about the Australian mushroom case. And the final word before you contact us and join up, there was one last heist. We're just going to give you Calvin Coolidge style two words about it. Bull semen. If you would like to write in and join the show, then we try to be easy to find online, and we cannot wait to hear from you.
No bull semen there. Yeah, you're using it like a bull snip kind of thing. Okay, never mind. You can find us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on X, Nate, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. And Conspiracy Stuff Show is how you will find us on Instagram and TikTok.
Hey, if you want to call us, you can call us. Our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a voicemail system. You've got 3 minutes. Say whatever you'd like. Just give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your message on one of these listener mail episodes. If you don't want to do that, you want to send us links, send us down rabbit holes. Why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.